All right, so I want you guys to
I'm gonna
guess
fail. I'm
what
gonna fail.
Australia or New Zealand is
Whoa! Back
like.
up. Back up. Is it, oh man, that was.
First of all, I'm freaking out. I don't do good under pressure.
I am
I'm not good at quizzes.
Sweating. I'm sweating. I'm sweating.
Why are you freaking out, man? You're gonna win.
Because I'm so nervous about watching you lose. So nervous.
Me
it's,
too.
It's giving me hot flashes.
All right, we'll start with an easy one. Egg.
It's Alex's hole. Oh, come on, like, okay, I got an egg.
No,
shape.
Now what does it mean?
I'm gonna say that egg means stupid.
I think it means idiot.
So it's an insult. It means a stupid idiot. Yeah.
Yes, oh, right. Wrong. Your right. Face,
you
Poppy.
Stole my egg. Yeah, you did. I said stupid.
Yeah, an idiot's longer.
No, it is not. Stupid is longer.
No, idiot.
Point out.
Yes. Point out. go ahead.
Chaka.
Hmm.
What do you think chaka means?
Can you put it in a sentence so I give the answer?
you think we'll be able to fit it in the trunk? Nah, it's chaka.
It's too big.
Okay, so it's too big. Fits
it
that.
Means it's full.
Oh,
I win! I win! I win!
You mean like Peter's full of baloney?
No, there's no baloney anymore because what? You broke the fridge.
I also left it out.
I mean, the fridge is a freezer. Let me get this clear. The fridge and the freezer are the same thing.
They're connected together.
Yeah. But I it's mean, big.
Goes without saying.
Because I can fit
God.
That.
Is there,
a great
there,
visual of the
like
joke.
Chicken tenders and all the french fries, is that stuff thawing out?
It's gone. It's done. Alex ruined it all.
I ate it. We had to cook it all very
God.
Fast. We cooked all of it really fast and then also forgot we cooked it and watched the movies and it's all bad anyway.
Oh, you guys are running that place into the ground.
We're paying the guy who's fixing the fridge and the leftover.
It's a good gig. You'd be proud. We're not giving him any money.
Yeah, man.
I'm not proud.
I don't think he's ever proud.
All right, you need let's to stop, continue with our New Zealand slang quiz on the Real Butter Buttercat.
All right, so we got Chaka and we got A. What's next?
Not in that order. An idiot. And stupid.
Right. So, the fridge, you carked it. Carked it.
You mess it up. You.
I broke
almost.
It?
Almost.
I broke it?
No.
Almost.
You,
my dad, he was supposed to have carked it.
He dead. Kicked it. Kicked the
dead.
Bucket.
Kicked yes. the bucket.
Yes!
Oh,
on your face, Alex. 1-1-1.
Guys, I apologize, but you know, I would do it again immediately so we could hear your father. That must have been great to hear his voice.
I think that was probably just an exhalation of trapped gas.
Where is she?
No, it was really clear.
Mm.
Where is she?
You know when you're sleeping and you're and someone starts talking to you? It's a real person this time. And then
they leave because they don't like you anymore and they never come back. Yeah.
Well, before that, they tell you something and you respond and you're just completely on autopilot and you're asleep.
Yeah.
It was like that, I think.
Yeah, I think I went through the same process when it was telling me to get out of their house and I didn't know who it was. I was just like, oh,
were you
what is
sleeping?
This person even saying?
Were you sleeping?
No, I was really.
So you just went in someone's house and they told you to get out.
I strained my back because the bag I was trying to carry at the same time.
What's the next question?
So if you watch Hunt for the Wilder People, you'll know this one.
I did. I watched the.
I did too.
I watched the. It's a fuck. It's a. I don't choose a skook's laugh. The skook's laugh chose me.
Yep, it's a thuggishy thug thug. It's a rapscallion.
It's like a baddie.
A scuzz bucket.
What?
Yeah, scuzzy bucket.
What
it's
is
not
it?
Like my bucket.
Are we right? Is Poppy not right?
That's killing me.
Skux means cool or trendy.
Oh, we're way off.
So it could be sort of, it's sort of gangster, I guess.
Thugs are cool.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Poppy, don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay, so the next one would be a hungus.
Oh, that's the thing that like grows from the ground, usually in like
no.
a cold
it's
damp.
Fungus. No. Among us.
Alex cooked up all the chicken tenders and french fries, obviously. He's a bit of a hungus.
A fool.
Overeater?
It's got to do with food. More angled towards the food
You're
angle.
Fat.
I'm not fat, am I?
No, I'm going with what I'm saying.
Okay,
he called you fat. He called you fat.
So it's fat. It means fat, eh?
No. That's not what I meant.
Okay.
You just like
I like food.
It's a food lover, like someone who enjoys
a foodie.
Food.
Right.
Gotcha.
I think calling
hungus.
You should probably watch
No. Mind. I'm never going to forget the fact that we're fat.
You're not, though.
This
you look
so,
great. You actually
Peter.
Lost
it. That Theo's thought so. I mean, you're clarifying it for me. Thank you very much.
Still.
Almost.
Peter wants to get his foot out of his mouth. We can continue.
Oh, got stuck in it.
I thought you were going to say get my foot out of my mouth because you just called me fat.
You did. You should awkwardly move on
when
to the
you,
next question.
When you do mean things to Peter, I laugh. But when you do mean things to me, it's not as funny.
No, I agree.
No, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Yeah, but you were like a brother to me, Alex.
Aw, that's so sweet. I'm way more of a brother than Peter is what you just said. And
yeah, it's
I
not like you've lived with each other
I've
for...
I've only known you for less than a year.
I mean, we did meet on my first day years ago, but I never really hung out with you. You made it very clear.
Well, I'm
that
adding up the
to.
Actual hours when that I've actually seen you, which is...
Oh, you,
far
take,
less than a year.
You take stock of the minutes and times that we spend together and
it's
have
weird.
Added?
Why are you surprised?
Good point.
Theo,
I have a little notebook and I log the hours.
What's the next question? I'm getting on. All right. My foot's not even in my...
It's in mine because I'm right there. Thank you.
Rattle your dags.
Rattle my... What?
Rattle your dags.
Maybe that... Is that getting excited? Like...
Rattle your dogs?
Dags.
They say dags.
Is it like getting your... You know, getting all agitated, getting flustered?
Don't get your dags rattled.
You're getting there.
I think I'm right.
Getting bothered, getting annoyed like, by something.
Yeah, don't get all frazzled dazzled. Don't get all
frazzled dazzled.
Don't get your feathers in a bunch.
Can we? So it doesn't mean that. Is it specifically?
I think he's calling you fat.
That could be. Is it a fat joke again?
Come on, rattle your dags. Need to get this project finished.
Hurry up.
Come on, rattle your dags, it will be late. Yes, it's hurry up. Yes.
I win. Known. 2-1.
Man, Peter is now, for once.
What's interesting winning. Is this expression is, right, New Zealand is famously has more sheep than people, right?
Yeah.
So a dag is not a reference to a dog. It's the excreta clotted clumps of wool at the rear end of a sheep, which rattle as they run.
Huh. That is one of the most New Zealand.
Yep. It's
you guys spend good. A so lot of time with sheep.
It's good. Yeah, you would now egg.
I don't know how eggs and rattle. Sheep go together.
Do they?
Is this like a farm?
Poop wool.
Vampire Wait, tigers lay eggs.
What was that, Theo?
Poop wool.
Got it.
The poop sticks to the wool and then it bats up and down on their butt as they run.
Thank you again for another great band name.
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, poop wool, followed by tiger vampire. Poop worms.
What's the next question?
So, sort of related. You might need to visit the Long Drop.
Hospital. Grave.
The Long Drop.
Ice cream
it's
truck?
It's related to our last one.
What?
It's kind of related to the last idiom.
Oh, the toilet.
Yes. It refers to an outhouse. Ah. It's also known as a Long Drop.
A Long Drop yes. to the top.
If you want to rock and roll. That's interesting. Long Drop. Kerplunk. Splash.
That is the worst part. We've all been there, haven't we?
Yeah, I have a bucket.
It's even worse when it is an outhouse and you get a little... You're in the splash zone.
Oh, your dad's
in
the bucket.
And you're like, oh my God, that wasn't even me.
No. Yeah.
That was someone else's.
It's one thing when you can flush a toilet and you get a little bit of a splash. You can paint the idea that the water is clean in your head. But in an outhouse, not. No.
That ain't even worse.
No, that's why I'm very careful.
It's blue Gatorade.
Blue Gatorade?
Yeah, have you tried it?
No.
You should.
I drink it when it's not blue and it's yellow.
I'm worried about it.
Why? I mean...
You break my fridge or can yellow stuff.
I have been forgetting hours and kind of blacking out from time to time. Maybe it's the amount of ammonia in my system. I don't know. I'm gross.
Huh.
Well, I've been up in an attic for years, you know. Awkward silence.
What's the next question? Come on, Theo. Come on.
Okay. Down the gurgler.
Down the gurgler? Is that down the hatch kind of thing?
Yeah, down the throat.
Nope.
Chug it.
Sentence.
It's, okay, well, this plan, or this quiz, has gone down the gurgler.
Oh, we're getting off track?
It's gone downhill. It's gone kaput.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, it would be the equivalent of down the drain. So it's, the plan has failed.
Alex.
Oh, just like your fridge. Man.
You're the only one who's laughing around.
Yeah, but we figured it out, right? We figured out the fridge thing.
Egg broke the fridge.
I did not. It's getting
egg
fixed.
Egg broke the fridge.
Poppy, please don't tell. I mean, Poppy, if you call me egg.
Egg.
13 to 14 more times, I swear to God.
That was 15 eggs!
Adorable.
Maybe 16, because I only got 4 fingers.
Well, if you'd have let me finish the sentence, it would have been, if you call me egg 13 or 14 more times after another 30, well, we just might as well make it 50 more times then. So you're going to do all of those? See? Exactly.
It's not even a threat.
Yep.
It's
a fact.
You're just making me call you egg.
No, I'm trying to get you sick of calling me egg so you can call me something else. Well, you have about 80 more times before I get 13 or 14 more times to be sick of it.
I don't know math, but I do know that this has gone down the scuggler? What was it?
The cobbler pot.
The gurgler.
Oh, the gurgler.
Come on, I didn't tell you this slang so you can just forget it. You're supposed to memorize it and use it in everyday conversation.
Forget what?
Nothing
the baby.
Changes.
What baby? Baby with the power. What power?
Power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
Voodoo?
Voodoo?
Do what?
All right, you're the babe.
I'm a baby.
Break my friend's fridge.
I broke the fridge.
He broke the fridge. Anyway, next question.
All right, so, Pharaoh's fart.
Oh.
Sparrow fart.
Peter. Peter, so, my answer's Peter.
Peter tends to wake up quite late in the day, so he would not be awake at Sparrow's fart.
An early bird. Dawn.
Man, early. Yeah.
Peter.
I win. I'm winning this game.
Oh, that's right. Peter's Sparrow's poop.
It's Sparrow's fat.
Sparrow's fat.
Whales have those.
That sounds, yeah. Like, yeah. Sounds like Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, my God.
Sparrow. Huh. Next slang.
I don't know that one.
Sprog.
Happy.
It's a sprog.
Content.
Sprog?
Sprog.
It's a snake frog.
Sprog. It's a frog.
Snake frog.
Can you imagine if snakes had limbs that hopped?
They'd be lizards. Yeah, it'd be like a salamander.
Yeah.
It is a frog snake.
Again, band name.
I know alchemy really well. I used to do an app on my phone.
Why don't you just use real butter to make rules?
Because that's horrible.
You can't have an Island of Dr. Moreau kind of set up here in the movie theater? You don't think people would appreciate that?
I feel like they'd cool, but I don't know if they would.
Come on, we can get Marlon Brando to bring him a little person.
I'm not Dr. Frankenstein in this.
I said Island of Dr. Moreau right off the bat.
But I'm not.
He's different. He makes animals out of people. Frankenstein made people out of people.
Right, but I think both are horrible.
People is peoples.
Yeah? We'll be right back on the Real Butter Buttercast.
Real
Butter.
I see dead people.
I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually a thing. I'm a being.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
Maybe it'll all just go away. Like a bad dream.
I doubt it.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Anyway.
Thor?
Yeah, I guess since we're not going to talk about anything anymore, we might as well just talk about Thor.
Thor, rat, no, rock?
Ah!
Come from the land of ice and snow and the ice and the hopping blue. Hammer of Thor. I believe that I was around in the theater. I had come down quick just for a little bit at the time that this movie was playing.
Yep.
I remember it being in the theaters. I remember enjoying it very, very much, considering the Thor movies that I had seen before.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! It is by far the best Thor movie.
By far.
Yeah. Well, it's the Taika spin. He made him likable. Before that, Thor was just like a, I really did not like the character at all. I didn't care what happened to him. I didn't even care he was in the Avengers. He was just like some guy who's doing his thing.
I liked the first movie. I don't think it's great, but I like it. And I do like his arc. And the second movie, I like his banter and relationship with Loki, but I don't think the second movie is very good. And
I have fallen asleep twice watching Thor Dark World.
Is that the one with like the weird, like,
there's elves?
Yeah.
Malekith.
There's like black clouds and stuff, isn't that? Like, it's like some weird powder.
They play the game.
And the elves almost destroy the Earth, but the Avengers are nowhere to be seen.
Right.
Well, they were all doing their own thing in their own movies at that time.
And then fast forward.
It happened in London, not America, so who cares?
And then fast forward to Thor Ragnarok, and it's infinitely better.
So the reason they hired Taika is because James Gunn did so well. James Gunn having the career that he had and the sense of humor that they had, they wanted to follow that. Why they chose him specifically was What We Do in the Shadows. And it was not just the fact that it was funny. It was the special effects of What We Do in the Shadows. It was the blood splurting from her neck. It was when Nick runs around the house and there are so many ways that he gets caught by them, or they're flying around. This low-scale movie had pretty decent special effects and gimmicks.
Yeah.
And it humanized and humorized things, the fantasy elements of like vampires and stuff, and it got broader and basically became a fantasy story because of how many elements there are of this world.
Right.
And so they were like, take Thor out of Asgard, take him somewhere else weird and crazy, and add your sense of humor to it, and go for it. And there's so many other things that you can say about it, but probably the best thing that he did that I don't think is detrimental to the series, I actually think it was the smart thing that they should have done in the second movie, which is the Shakespearean aspect in the first movie needed to be dropped in the second one. Because I like the idea that the more time Thor spends on Earth, the more he talks like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Which is why he talks the way he does in Ragnarok. He spent so much time with him, of course he's a quippy, weird dude. Like, he's American now, pretty much.
Yeah.
If they'd have just cut to that kind of idea and taken him out of Asgard and kept him either on Earth or somewhere weird, that's the way to do it. The Shakespearean stuff was first, right off the bat, but Banner was never going to come back.
Well, that fit in perfectly for the Hulk, because the Hulk left after Ultron, blah, 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 and, you know, escaped on the jet thing. Mm-hmm. And then you got Thor and that dynamic, which is beautiful. Because you already had that in Avengers, you know, they're, like, they're fighting, and but now it's more playful and less just, like,
especially
big man fight.
Hulk can talk now.
And I think,
Hulk, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it really, this is a movie about an outsider with issues with his father who's suffering from the loss of a loved one who kind of has an inflated sense of self and kind of shows off a bit and has to kind of find himself through friendship with, you know, an oddball couple of other people.
No.
We already talked about that movie.
We already talked about Wilder. We already talked about Wilder people.
Well, here's the thing. I think...
No, I'm talking about Thor Ragnarok.
Well, here's the interesting thing about Thor. Yes, it follows that template, but it takes away some very interesting things. For one, he has no singular father figure in which he can either learn from or connect with. He instead has a group of people, and each and every one has a different element to it. And that is what we do in the shadows. What we do in the shadows is what inspires mostly Thor. Each and every person is weird. They all have their own thing. They're all contentious. And then by the end, they're as a team save the world.
Their family.
Even the guy with the guns comes in and shoots everyone down. And at the end, when they're all in the ship, everyone's happy and it's all together. It's
he redeemed himself through death.
That's way more what we do in the shadows than it is anything else. But everything leading to it, yes, grief-stricken guy, has inflated senses of security.
Well, he also lost his hammer.
And he lost his hammer.
Did you also notice in all of these movies, there's a scene where the main character shows off his stuff? Well, actually, okay. So in this movie, it's Scourge who, you know... Here's my stuff.
Yep.
And he shows them like his guns and all random stuff. And in Eagle versus Shark, she's in his room and these are my candles. And this is
When Boy takes the girl he likes out to his house.
Yeah. And then he does it in all of them actually. And in the shadows, they're showing them around the house.
The very first thing in Boy is Boy telling you about his stuff. I like Michael Jackson. Here's my things. Here's my brother. Here's this. Like that is a thing that he does, which is, in my opinion, Wes Anderson-y. But in Wes Anderson, he would just show you those things while the characters are doing stuff. In this, some would say lazy narration, in my opinion, he's literally allowing the character to be comfortable with the audience. He's saying we're not distant. I know it may seem 90s quirky, but you're going to like this guy. So. He wants to show you.
And he's also, he's lovable because he's a loser and he doesn't know it. He thinks he's cool.
Certainly for some of them, yeah.
Yeah, Thor's definitely a loser.
I think Thor is that when he gets there.
He literally is a loser. Well, he lost so much.
Valkyrie, well, he was going to win.
But he lost his dad, he lost his hammer, he lost his throne.
But I'm thinking in terms...
Chucked onto this alien planet where he's nobody.
You cannot be any more of a loser than that. Nope.
Except for that he was going to win until they forced him to lose. That's why...
Then he was a loser again.
Not by his own hand, and not because he didn't try, because other people forced it.
Hulk won!
I'm the raging fire.
Thor like smoldering fire.
Looking into the motifs of somebody like this, and seeing how he changes things even in Thor, and then would later go into satire, like straight up satire for JoJo, it makes you wonder what he's going to do when he attacks something like Akira. Like, I don't like Akira, but it's going to be interesting to see a very funny guy handle something that is pretty dark and twisted. So
it'll be a few segments from now.
Watching him step into Thor in the superhero genre in a world that already exists and saying, here's my genre and here's my sense of style of doing something. I'm going to change the Shakespearean dude's work that's tried to be Game of Thrones in the last movie, and I'm going to make it fun. I'm going to do something different with it.
I'm going to do it better.
It was ballsy. And I do appreciate it.
And he right away kills all the boring, generic characters that we saw in the other movies, like his three pals. They just die.
Honestly, Asgard.
Boom.
I feel the problem with that, I don't think, was his fault. I think the problem with that was that they were under... Well, no, they're utilized in the second movie. He just kind of chose not to do it, but...
Just kill him.
Well, the other reason is the two famous people from the first movie that played those characters went on to do bigger things.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Did you just transform?
I'm sorry?
Did you just transform?
You said
Shazam.
Well, you guys would have heard the lightning and stuff. I said Shazams. Oh, okay. So if I said Shazam... There we go, guys.
Whoa,
see these muscles?
Huge.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Shazam. Oh. Anyway, when I say Shazams, doesn't happen. It's a Shazam.
It's a Shazam.
It's a Shazam when it
doesn't happen. Shazam.
Right, Shoshana? Oh, she's not there. I'm really impressed with his ability to challenge himself. And although he does have motifs and ideas and stories and characters that he reverts to, themes that he does go back to. He likes to challenge himself in terms of how he tells his stories.
Yeah, he's not just templating every movie off of one thing. He's changing it up.
He understands that genres have rules.
Yeah.
He's very aware of his career. You know, like I said, he wrote the script for Boy and he had that prepped, but he did Eagle versus Shark first because he thought that was a better kind of way to get his name known.
He's pretty self-aware.
And then kind of paced it out. Yeah. And then, like, you know, he had the script for Jojo Rabbit ready ahead of time, but he decided to go ahead with Thor Ragnarok because he knew that would kind of be a big boost to his career.
And boy, was he right.
He's a smart businessman for sure. Yeah, he understands how audiences think and what they might... He understands auteurism, and I don't think he probably would consider himself an auteur at the beginning of his career. I think he's an auteur now. I think by the time Wilder People came out, I was like, oh, this guy has a style and a sense that is all his own. You can point out themes, and you can point out stuff that makes his filmography actually have character to it. I don't think he necessarily tried to do that, and is, in a sense, I feel, trying to avoid it. But at other times, I think he knows he has home bases. If he can't figure out something, he may be like, well, the relationship between the father and Boy is a lot like this book I read called Jojo Rabbit, where the kid has this imaginary relationship with Hitler, who is more like a deadbeat dad, who once you find out who he is as a true person, you don't want to spend any time with him. So that is a theme that comes out later, but then you watch Jojo, and that's not the heart of the movie. Mm-hmm. The heart of the movie is his relationship with the girl, something that he has not explored very well in other movies, except for the short with the two kids in the car.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. I like that he, again, keeps bringing back other actors that have been in his previous movies, but I would not expect Jeff Goldblum to be in a superhero movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
He makes good choices like that.
He brought back Jeff Goldblum for sure.
It's not like he's pulling names out of a hat. He's like, he just...
There's just a way that Jeff Goldblum is that I think complements the dry sense of humor Flight of the Conchords and his work in New Zealand for sure. I think...
I'm surprised he hasn't been in any of the other movies.
The thing that I'm also noticing about him, too, is the difference between Wilder People and Thor... and Jojo and some of the other smaller things that he's done too, because he has written theater shows and he does do stand-up, so he likes to dance around different things. But I like the idea of maybe continuing with his career, making something major and then going back and making something weird. So he makes Wilder People,
I did
and then
see
he makes
something
Thor.
Like that yeah he was yeah. explaining that
it'd
he's
be
gonna
nice
go back and forth kind of thing
to make Jojo and then go and make Love and Thunder.
Yeah, he phrased it like he's gonna do something that he kind of made up on his own, and then he's going to do something, not that he has to do, but something that's more of like a job. He kind of phrased it like that. The other thing is more of like a project that he's doing, and the other thing is like, not something he has to do. I can't find the word
for
it.
Well, no, it's a job. Like one of my favorite things...
He's still going to enjoy it.
Well, as I was doing the Roland Emmerich thing, James Spader was like, I think Stargate was one of the dumbest scripts I ever read in my life. However, the passion of Roland Emmerich was something that convinced me that maybe he could put that passion on screen. And in my opinion, he does. That's a very dumb movie that's an awesome time to watch. And Spader commits 110%. But he says it. He's like, sometimes you just take jobs for money. But that doesn't mean that people don't like it for the earnest reasons. He's like, this movie's dumb, but it's gonna be fun because I know the guy making it believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's the same way here. Like, people go up to him and he's like, I got an idea, I got a vision, I got a story, trust me, and they do. I think when people were looking at him and he had these ideas of Thor and what it was going to be and how he wanted to change it, everyone was behind it because he was like, yeah, I think it'll be fun. And they were like, you know what, I kind of agree. He's like, yeah, stop taking you so seriously. Your mom's dead. I'm sorry.
He literally tells the actors to just, like, goof off on camera.
A lot of improv. To be able to fit that improv in a movie like that,
A superhero movie that you have to hit certain points leading up to next movies and stuff.
But it also helps when you have Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston know and joke around with each other so well that you can get a moment like them in the elevator and they're like, let's do Get Help.
Yeah.
Like, that's just made up on the spot and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the genuine nature he got from those kid actors in Boy is the same thing that carried on to the naturalism that was like the kids in Jojo, or getting normal actors who love each other as best friends to joke around in character very well. I just think he seems like a guy that's positivity and creativity are infectious when you're on set.
Oh, yeah, no. I can totally see
and that. I keep forgetting to say it. I keep bringing up Rachel House and then forgetting to say what it is. Not only is she an actress in many of his films, she also is an acting coach.
Wow.
And she coached all the kids in Boy. So a lot of those performances are owed to her. And she also coached the kids in Jojo Rabbit.
Awesome. Wow. Like
she's she's behind the scenes as well. She's worked with them since the start. So she's a pretty acclaimed acting coach and director in her own right in New Zealand. So there you go.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
People over there are just cool, I guess.
And then the introduction of Valkyrie, which is another female character that, like, pretty strong and not prominent in his other work.
That is true. Yeah, he was just trying to, you know, push himself, or maybe that was a point in the film where they had, okay, this chick is going to be in here. She's one of the Valkyrie. She's going to help Thor defeat the goddess of death in the end.
Yeah, it's super hard when you look at these movies to be like, what did the studio say? These are the pieces and players that you're working with, right? Yeah. Something around this. And maybe they listened to him and were like, we need a Valkyrie. But then
to help, because it can't just be him and Hulk.
Yes. And like, we all know that Loki's going to help at some point. And then the Scourge guy is kind of fun, but he's at the end. She is such a prominent point to that. And she also is in such control of Thor throughout the movie and is an equal to him in all ways. And I feel like who she is was brought to the table by him, regardless of whether they were like, put Valkyrie in there or not.
Right, right.
And the reason I feel that way is the decisions he's made for the next Thor movie.
He put the spin on it.
Well, you look at what the next Thor movie is and what's going to happen, and you're like, no, nobody would have made that unless it was him.
Exactly. But we'll talk about that in the not next segment, but the next
segment.
I have a little note here, too. You were talking about improvising on the set.
Yeah.
You know that great bit where Thor goes, he's a friend from work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, that line was suggested by a kid who was visiting the set from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's right.
And he just he suggested it, and then Chris Hemsworth did it on the set.
Oh my gosh. It's so great. That probably made that kid's day. Mm. Made his wish come true.
And it's hilarious. It totally works.
It reminds me how good, how funny Hiddleston is, too. When, like, he's whipping around Thor and he's like, that's what it feels like. I'm just a fan of the sport. And you're like, how did he get comedy out of Hiddleston so well? And they got nothing out of him in King Kong. Yeah. The only way I would have been able to see it in Hiddleston, outside of seeing maybe the right things that he had done before it, is their interviews. Nothing is more fun than just watching the original Avengers do interviews.
They're like dude bros.
It's the best. It's the best.
The bromance is hard.
When it comes to those two, you can see the comedy in Hiddleston and everyone right when they're like maybe interview 30 and they're just wasted and tired and like just goofball, silly, goofy giggles. It's Hiddleston is amazingly funny. His impression of Korg in general is super funny. So I'm not surprised that he watched it and was like, this guy's super funny. Their dynamic's super funny.
Funny.
Oh, yeah, and Alex, you're big into soundtracks. Mark Mothersbaugh did the soundtrack for this one using old analog synths, including a Moog.
I loved this soundtrack so much. So much.
And I feel like there were elements of Wilder People in this, too. Like, they both had synth elements, but this was, like, 70s synth, straight mod.
Right, there wasn't any Ricky Baker.
No, it was instead Jeff Goldblum with his band for 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Jamming, and then he leaves. I remember watching the credits of that movie constantly working in the theater and really loving him. I love that.
Was that actually Jeff? Because he can play the piano really well.
I've heard his album. Yeah.
I wonder if he actually came up with that. That would have been cool.
Probably not.
Just let me think.
I want to think it too. And then I also love his bit at the end where he's like, all right, great revolution. Can't have a revolution. Can't have a revolution without a guy to topple down. We all did this together. Great job.
So it's a tie.
It's a tie.
And then it just ends.
Love it.
He's doomed. That guy is so doomed.
I want him to come back for sure.
He's definitely dead. I'm sorry, but
he's
dead.
Eternal. So maybe it's not easy to kill him.
He's eternally dead.
Ah, love it.
Well, you can see him in the Thor shorts that Taika directed.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Amazing.
Which are hilarious.
It almost seems
like they're kind of rehearsing some of the jokes that are in the film.
He's like a vlog for Thor.
Well, that's the thing that I find really interesting about Thor is he filmed a scene for Doctor Strange, and then he filmed those shorts. I agree. Those shorts are him getting a feel of the comedy, of what could work. And they're basically what we do in the shadows.
Yeah.
It's the same structure, vibe, and tone.
But it's superheroes.
Like, it's like that he works with a guy who's helping him and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a map. It's so what we do in the shadows. But it's also, yes, I agree, him trying to find a comfortable way of taking the American sensibility that has to be involved in Thor by now and making it real and earnest. him knowing what coffee is now and him knowing Tony Stark quips and stuff like that. Like, they had to feel that out. And I agree. I think that's what those shorts were mostly for.
Yeah. Cricket. And he's got his, you know, look at my stuff moment too. Do you remember when he's
in the room? Yes.
You know, there's a drawing of Mjolnir, his hammer with the kind of muscly arms holding a miniature Thor.
It's Mjolnir, but whatever.
Yep.
Mew mew. Broke. I like that Kate Dennings is gone. I like Kate Dennings, but like, come on. Like, she's like, I like that actress, and she's been in things that I enjoy, and she was okay in the first Thor, but by the second Thor, her just running around with a guy, story has nothing to do with the movie, really does kind of take away from it. And I'm glad that Taika was like, we're going away from Earth. We're
just getting out of here. It's just, well, it was there for 5 minutes. 5 minutes on Earth.
I gotta be honest.
Even Bruce Banner's like, I want to go home. And Thor's like, no, I kind of need you.
Sun's going down. Sun's going way down.
I need you to, you know, be Hulk. And he's like, you're just using me. He's like, no, well.
Yeah. Well, Ruffalo's another one. When was the last time you saw Mark Ruffalo do something funny?
Never. And personally,
he has. But it really shocked me. Like, the last time he did something funny was just like Heaven with Reese Witherspoon, where she dies and they fall in love.
And that's hilarious.
It's a romantic comedy. I love it when I fall in love with somebody dead. And I just, I think he's okay in it. But here, again, like, he understands how to get the best out of it, because Mark Ruffalo is kind of a geek in real life. He has spoiled so many movies, including Thor. He, in fact, watched at the premiere Thor and then accidentally left his Instagram on, and 15 minutes of the movie got out. It's hilarious. It's adorable. It's adorable. So to see him, like, with Chris Hemsworth, and he's like, sun's going way down. He's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I love it.
He's kind of hulking out.
Super funny. I do think, yeah, he just finds comedy in people that you wouldn't expect it. It makes me really respect the sensibilities of Boy more, and Eagle vs. Shark. Because, yeah, he is obviously making people improv really heavily in a movie that's dependent on green screen and special effects and those moments, but the other films feel like their tone works, and I'm wondering how much he makes them improvise, and how much Eagle vs. Shark, the camera doesn't move a lot, so that framing is intentional, but the moments are funny and filled with a lot of improv.
Right.
Whereas, like, Boy, it's more like a Terrence Malick fluid camera thing until Dad shows up, and then it's very specific about
him. Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Pretty sure I read or saw an interview with him where he's talking about Boy, that there wasn't any improvising in it. In fact, he doesn't do it too much because he can't always trust that the actors are going to be good at improvising.
Well, when they're kids, yeah.
Yeah. With Eagle and Shark, you've got Jemaine Clement and Lauren Horsley, who are both improv comedians to begin with. So I'm pretty sure there's a bit looser trust.
Well, the less moving, the whole point of cameras is in comedies is they need to be shot reverse shot so they can do that easy. They can improvise more and edit more, and there's less planning. What I think I saw in Boy more was not that the kids were improvising, but that the moments themselves were probably maybe one or two takes. They seem very natural, and they seem like he probably didn't give too much direction.
Yeah, well, telling a kid, like, to play a kid is easy.
Yeah.
Well, you've already picked the kids.
Hell, he picked the extra out of the blue when he realized his first pick sucked. So it just
worked out for him.
I think there is a trust that he has in actors that if an actor is an improviser, sure. If the actor is the right person for the job, they don't need to try too hard. And he's an in-the-moment kind of thing. Are his shots and movies, is there composition to them? Absolutely. You wouldn't have the moment in JoJo with the mom and the feet if they weren't. But there is an ease to when it comes to the performance of the actors that he seems to be open with. He's not a David Fincher where he's going to ask someone to do 200 takes. Right. He seems like the kind of guy who's like, I want the purity of a moment in two or three takes, and then we can go. Where everything That's else cool. is a little bit more lined out. Because, like, when he's with his friends as the dad, there had to be improvising with those two guys. Had to be improvising with Taika, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, dude, that guy's in Thor Ragnarok, too. I forgot.
Who does he play?
On Sakaar, you know when Thor first lands? And there's a group of kind of creepy mutant type people who come over.
Oh yeah,
You know, are you something or are you food?
Yeah.
He's that guy. He's the only one of the mutants with where you can see his face. It's him.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I think Thor was good, and I can't wait.
But next up, we're gonna talk about the Oscar winning Jojo Rabbit.
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars, reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming. 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
What?
Real.
Butter.
Hi, people of Earth. I'm the Grand Master. I'll be taking over your world soon. And Peter, I've got you tied up there. You think this is great, right? I think we're gonna have a great time. Alex, that's your name?
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Somebody help! Somebody help! The guy with the Grandmaster has captured Peter and I, and he's tied us up. And I'm sorry. What did you ask?
Well, obviously, you guys are you're wonderful. Love your work.
Thank
I've never
you.
Heard of it.
Oh, that's so nice, Peter. Well, that's so nice to say that.
And tonight you'll be I'll be presiding over a little harlequinade called the Contest of Champions, where I'm gonna make Peter and Alex fight to the death.
What?
It's gonna be very entertaining. I hope everyone stays tuned for that.
What? I wanted to.
Man, I can't wait. This is gonna be amazing.
That's adorable.
It's my little friend Poppy. I'm very attached to him now.
He's adorable.
Thanks, Grandmaster. Shut up, bud.
Grandmaster, I believe there is a revolution going on outside currently.
Oh, well, had enough of those. I think I'm gonna just head out now, guys. So I'll check in later.
There's Poppy, not gonna be a huge fight.
Poppy, you're in charge. Bye.
Alright, guys, get your swords. It's gonna be real fun.
Although you're so adorable.
You're dead.
Your first step towards being men. Today you boys will be involved in such activities as marching, bayonet drills, grenade throwing, trench digging, map reading, gas defense, camouflage, ambush techniques, war games, firing guns, and blowing stuff up.
I wrote this out. It's a piece of original sort of dialogue. I was wondering if you guys could read it out.
Sure. Like, what, original? What am I reading?
Wow. This is original.
Yeah. What am I reading?
So you read... Well, no, okay, sorry. You're not actually part of it, Peter.
Get out of my way, Peter. Get out of my way. Well, get out of my way. He doesn't want you.
So
get out of my way.
Come on, Eddie.
Yeah, yeah. Poppy,
for,
you and I.
Yeah, it's for Alex and Poppy. Alex and Poppy only. This will be a part of Real Butter.
Okay.
The movie.
All right, we're going to take a look at this. Poppy, let me pull this up real quick.
Okay,
it's just you and I. Peter, this is just us. Could you step back a little
bit? I'm literally in the corner of the room. I can't get any farther.
It's distracting.
I don't even know why I'm here.
You have to get the character. Could you turn away those? Your face is to the wall.
We want you to really imagine.
Is that better? Are you happy?
That's fine.
Excluding me all the time.
It's fantastic. The best part would be if you just stopped talking. That'd be great. Okay, so.
Thank you.
So you want Poppy and I to read this?
Yes, please. That would be great.
This is new and original, brand new stuff straight from the noggin of Theo.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Peter?
An exclusive clip from the Real Butter movie.
I believe you.
Peter, no.
Peter, although I think you're right, please keep it down.
Stop stealing the limelight, is mine.
Yeah, this is for us. Peter, could you just get as close in that corner as you could? Thank you very much. Okay, all right. You ready, Poppy? You ready, Poppy?
Yeah, I'm ready to see.
Okay, now I'm going to be the first line, and you follow me. Okay, you ready? Now, Poppy, what is your mind?
Snake mind.
And Poppy, what is your body?
Wolf body.
What is your courage, Poppy?
Panther courage.
And Poppy, what is your soul?
A buttery soul.
Yeah, man, you're ready. Wait a second. This is from Jojo
Rabbit.
You just
took that from Jojo. I'm not facing the corner anymore. You just took that from Jojo Rabbit.
There's no character called Poppy in Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, you used the whiteout. You used the whiteout and changed the names. That's literally all you do.
Absolutely.
You changed buttery. I'll give you that.
This just won an Oscar for screenplay, and you just put whiteout all over the screenplay.
This is literally last year, as of the time of this recording.
Look, I'm not...
It's an homage.
No. I mean, I get it, but you're not admitting that you just stole this.
Who are you, Quintantin Tarantino?
I think you said that wrong.
Okay.
I think it's Quintantin.
It's Quintantin?
Tintintino.
Tin Tarantino?
No, it's all T.
I haven't seen his work.
Tintin Tantatinto.
How do you spell it?
Tintin Tantatinto.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now, is this any relation to Tintin, the adventure strip?
No, no, no.
Yeah, it's the sequel. Peter Jackson will also not make this one.
This guy is obsessed with feet. That's the only
Peter
difference.
Jackson. Peter Jackson's also from New Zealand. Yeah. Another Kiwi.
Come on, Snowy. We have an adventure for some feet.
Yeah.
Yep, Tintin.
Tintatinto.
Tintatinto. So, yeah, you jacked that. You Hugh jacked that.
He's Australian. I'm not going to
hear it. What's the term for it?
It's theft.
No, what is it? Goggled? Come on, he's from there.
He's ripped off.
Yeah, what is that one?
Gaggled? You goggled it.
No, that's eating or something.
You snarfled the scuzzy.
Yeah.
You boogled the deagle dork.
You're just making things up.
I know, I've never been to New Zealand.
Egg.
Oh, it could be slang.
Egg.
You don't know that.
Egg.
I really want egg now. I just keep thinking about eggs, McMuffins. Oh, it sounds so good with some salt and some ramen and lamb and polka music. I don't know. My whole dinner thing is weird. It's a regimen. But you stole that, Theo.
Never mind that. I think the thing we should be talking about is Jojo Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And to just start off, we have talked about this movie in one episode.
You guys have.
Whole movie in one episode. Nothing else. We're so on topic.
I remember that episode. I wasn't there in the room with you guys, but I was upstairs in the attic.
Listening to us?
Well, I was talking at the same time, and you guys just didn't know my opinions were awesome.
Well, we didn't hear you.
I didn't say it loud enough. You're right. I mean, the walls and the rooms and the other side of the building were in the way, but I was totally listening.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's... Mm. Well, I guess... people who have listened to that episode before can go back and listen to it through Alex's perspective, which you can't hear, but you can just imagine, now you know that he's
imagine
there.
That the room is really dark, it smells like cheese, and then it also, you fart, so it smells even more like cheese right after it. And then, honestly, just kind of make sure that your eyes have been closed for a couple of days and you're used to the sense of dark. I was born in it! And then, born in it! And then, eat
don't
nothing
get Peter
but...
started on that impression. Oh my god.
I didn't see the light till I was a man.
That's his impression of me. That's me dead on right
until
there.
Until then it was blinding.
Very much how I am. Oh god, you nailed it.
Yeah, you're basically Bane. That is the Alex Way official. You heard it here, folks.
Mm-hmm. Also, I would drink pool cleaner. I don't know why they had it up there, but it certainly helped with my perception of the world.
Well, I think we should also mention that Taika is Hitler in this.
He plays Hitler. It's a ballsy move.
He's fulfilled his dream. Also, I totally forgot about this, but in What We Do in the Shadows, Deacon was a Nazi.
That's right.
He was a Nazi. Yeah, so it's almost in every movie there is some weird thing about Nazis.
It's just one of those things. When I see work from people who are born in the 70s or the 80s, and they grew up with grandparents who survived that, and they hear about it, and they understand it, that 1.6 million people like you were murdered just for being like you in one semblance, that affects you. It really does. Mm-hmm. Some of us are lucky that we don't have to go through that, or our families haven't to a certain extent. It seems like it affected him, really. And it's all over. For a guy who seems to find in his movies vulnerabilities and humanity within characters that most people wouldn't spend any time with or have any time of day for, he takes a lot of effort to humanize a young Nazi, to anti-brainwash him the way that they totally did back then. And mm-hmm. those beliefs and systems were set in those young kids. But they carried on until they were adults. So there were kids from that time who grew out of the war and still held those ideas and then went into the real world. And it was beaten into them. To make a movie where it's beaten out of them, where a Jew actually sits there and tells them about their history, the fact that he's attracted to her and also doesn't know what to do with that. Like, it's a really interesting story about how you can be on the wrong side of history, but you can change. And as the movie gets more gets more sarcastic and more sardonic about what it's talking about, you see kids moving wheelbarrows of dead bodies, and they're like, "Oh, well, how's it going, Jojo?" And you're like, "This is goofy and weird." But like, honestly, towards the end of the war, that's probably what they were doing.
Yeah, they were making kids do all that
because they had no one else and they had nothing
literally
to believe
fight
in.
They were making kids fight.
Yeah, and it's really it's also interesting to see someone like Sam Rockwell's character believe in this system because it's all he has, despite the fact that he wants to be a soldier and fight for his country. He also knows that his country would never allow him to be who he is.
Yeah, mixed feelings with that guy.
Being on the wrong side of history is what I take the most from Jojo. And how do you deal with that? How do you wreck yourself with that? How when it's all said and done,
Do you look at the person who was hurt the most by your beliefs in the face and say, I love you? But it is also based off of...
This movie made me Amanda big time.
It made you what?
Amanda.
What does that mean?
Crying.
Oh, what?
Now I'm confused.
You think crying makes you a girl?
No, specifically Amanda. She just cries about everything, so...
She doesn't cry about everything. She cries at the right time. Oh, Amanda,
I'm sorry, guys. I never had a chance to be on here with Amanda.
She has a heart, unlike the soulless, heartless one that I'm talking to right now.
No, one of my...
Told you I cried.
Well, one of my favorite things about Amanda and listening back on episodes is when you guys talk about things and then she's like, no, not for me.
Yep.
Not right now. No, thank you. That would ruin me.
No, thanks. Like,
yeah, I get it. No, thanks. I was late to the party. I didn't know that he made this until the trailer came out. And then it was getting so much love. In fact, I heard from critics when it came out in Cannes, the half and half. Some people who were like, he doesn't nail the thematics of it, despite how funny it is. And other people who were like, he did it just fine. And to be honest, I'm still in the middle somewhere.
I don't know if we can ever actually speak to that part.
There's something about making a movie about the Holocaust, and then at the end you're kind of just like, was that crazy? There's a little bit something about that I kind of hear people saying. However, having watched his past work, this is the next evolution of where he would go. He's taking an idea and thematics and stuff that are a little bit more serious and pointing out how, like, ridiculous they are. It's neither here nor there. But watching his past work and seeing the steps that he took to place in a bad father figure with a kid with an active imagination, and then switching that to and Hitler. making it a relationship about him actually meeting a human being girl who embodies the thing he doesn't like, but also embodies a thing that he loves and he can't explain about himself. And then in the background, you have all these other adults, Rebel Wilson, Sam Rockwell, his mom trying desperately to feed in humanity past these ideologies.
We know how that...
I just think it's not clumsy and it's not heavy-handed. It's handled deftly in ways that I could. So when
I haven't seen something handled like this, like that. There's probably something out, but I haven't seen anything.
I'm trying to think of something that I saw like that along... I mean, Team America is a good example of it, where it both has its cake and it too. And that's what people are saying about JoJo.
There's cannibals in there? What?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, there's cannibals in there.
So I think when it comes to JoJo, you have to balance yourself as a viewer. If you're like, he could have pushed this whole teaching hatred and educating hatred to kids and the actual problems with that down the line. He could have taken that seriously, but then also made it funny. I don't think he should have. He is way more upbeat. He's way more optimistic about humanity. He is the guy who takes people that should be cast out of society for being immature, juvenile, or not good, and he brings them to our level, or brings us down to their... Like, most people who make movies about bad people will try to take the audience and go, aren't you like this guy? You're no different than this person.
Oh, right,
whereas
right.
He's like, he's no different than us. He's taking the characters and he's shining a light on them and giving them opportunities to grow in ways that other filmmakers are like, that person's never going to grow. But if you're not careful, neither could you, which is way more nihilistic in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think him not handling it so heavily is the proper Taika.
Rati, did you say it right?
I like it when you do it. It's adorable. I want like fluffy scramble with like ketchup.
Yellowy.
Yeah.
Pillowy. Ketchup.
Yeah, I like ketchup on my eggs. Ketchup. Come on, Pulp Fiction, let's do this.
Just keep going.
Poppy?
Yeah.
I love you.
Egg!
I tried.
Egg!
And so, I honestly think when I watched it the first time, having heard all this stuff, that what I responded to the most was that it's not an adult telling you these things. It's not his mom telling him that you should respect Jewish people or that this war is stupid, even though she consistently does that and consistently reminds him that his view of who his father is skewed. It's the Jewish girl who's not his age. She's older than him. So she's still not an adult, despite the fact that she was going to get married. She is like 16, 17 kind of age. And I find that really interesting because, like, you don't have that in his other movie. You could have had that with the girl and boy. You could have hammered home the fact that she liked him. But they don't. And there's something really magical, I think, happening between this relationship that's very contentious because, she lies to him. He stabs her. He lies to her
literally
several times.
Literally stabs her.
She has to forgive a lot from this little...
Yeah.
But he earns it. He earns his humanity.
which is something that you didn't have to do.
It's more redeemable when you're a child and you're just fed those things.
It's so easy to make a movie about a kid who's been indoctrinated into bad ideology, growing up to be an adult, doing terrible things, and seeing the ramifications of it. Sure. He didn't want to tell that. He wanted to tell a story about how the indoctrination is bad, but that humanity can survive it, which I think is important considering there are people who still genuinely believe that, sadly.
What's that? What's that? That word for stupid or idiot?
Moron.
No. Like Peter? the what slang. What was the slang? Yeah.
Well, there was one we didn't get to. Drongo.
A cricket noise.
I'm gonna guess what was Peter.
No, what?
You're famous in New Zealand, right?
Me?
Egg.
Yeah.
Egg.
What
did it mean?
What?
The last word you said, drongo.
Peter, right? What? That's what you said.
No,
Peter?
I was kidding.
Oh,
drongo. Drongo means stupid or foolish.
Oh, yeah, drongo. Peter. So yeah, so if you're backtracking like 30 seconds ago when Alex said that, if you believe in that, you're dumb. You're a dringo.
Yeah.
Drongo. Baby,
sorry. Drongo?
What a drongo.
Drongo.
A drongo ate my baby.
Yeah, you suck.
I do.
No. If you like, if you're still believing in all this.
Oh, got it.
You suck.
And I think what this highlights is that Taika is a...
Matiti, just say it.
Is a you know, a humanist. Yes. He's very empathetic, and I think that's why he can see the sense of humor in these kind of horrible situations, and he can see the point of view of someone who's misguided, and he can what I think he's especially good at is seeing things from the perspective of the outsider, from the perspective of a child, which he's done numerous times now, and I think that's very important. We can't just have movies filled with, you know, handsome men who are confident and doing, you know, doing the right thing, and they know what they're doing. It's not, that doesn't teach us anything, and it doesn't help us to empathize, you know?
Agreed.
Just as the real Butter movie will help you to empathize with. No.
Peter, you're going to love it.
I better.
When you perform the scene
Peter's
underwater.
Peter's character is sort of like the buffoon, but. I will tell you this. I did notice another recurring thing in that there's a scene in almost all these movies where a character is getting ready, and there's sort of like a montage of quick cuts that highlights, like, you know, pulling on a belt, a strap or something like that. Choom, choom, choom. And then the character's ready.
Yeah, very Evil Dead.
Jojo does it in the mirror, in this one, obviously, at the beginning. In Thor Ragnarok, there's the scene of them getting their armor on and all that.
Right.
And it's very like that. In Hunt for the Wilder People, they're getting ready to go out into the wilderness.
I keep waiting for someone to say groovy when they're done.
Well, yeah. There was a scene in the What We Do in the Shadows where all the vampires are getting ready to go out at night, and they got all dressed up, and then in Boy, it was like the brother, like, getting all dressed up to go tell his dad that, what did he tell him? He's like, you
that
suck,
I'm
dad.
I'm sorry,
oh, yeah.
I killed him.
Oh, totally opposite.
My fault.
Sorry, fault.
But, for a particular, I mean, I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell as well, so he was great in this. The scene in the camp is hilarious.
Yeah,
obviously, like, the beginning's funny, and then anyway, go ahead.
Are you in the back of a truck?
No, I was going to say I liked that moment between him and the guy who was Theon in Lord of the Rings in the camp, too.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
It was like Lord of the Rings.
Come on, it's not like anyone's going to remember Game of Thrones in 5 years, guys, let's be honest.
Oh, dang.
Never watched it. Yeah, I think we covered enough on this, because we've already made an entire episode about this one movie. So
pause and go listen to that.
Yeah, I don't want
to
hear it.
Well, I was going to say, I loved Scarlett Johansson more than anything. Her scene with him is really good.
Oh, here we go.
I love Scarlett Johansson in it, and I think she deserved it.
Who doesn't like her?
I know that don't like
Why?
Her.
Why? What's wrong with her?
They think
her
that she's...
kind of monotonous voice, or kind of wooden acting.
Some people
maybe.
Think that, yeah. Some people think in... What was it? What was the skin movie? Under the skin. Yeah, and
that's
her.
The character, though.
Yeah, I
she
agree.
She plays like a creepy alien who feeds on people.
She's done it basically three times with Lucy.
But that's in the story. She's just being
in the show.
Typecast.
But so is Keanu and that sort of thing. And sometimes Keanu.
Oh, whatever.
Flourishes.
You know what? You have them go and act.
But the point is that last year she proved that she's not that by getting two Oscar nominations for two great performances.
Just mind your own beeswax.
I think she's great in that dinner scene where she pretends to be the dad.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That
made
fantastic.
Me cry,
that's
man.
That's my favorite scene.
Made me freaking cry.
I really
she started
it.
Dancing with herself. I mean, there's nothing more sad than that.
She slams the desk.
I mean that too, and yeah. Yells at the kid.
Yeah, I just think she's great in that moment, and it's awesome that she's going to be getting out of Marvel movies and acting again.
Well, she's dead in that too now.
And she got her own movie, great, but I like that in both this and Marriage Story, she's like, hey, I can act.
I want to show you guys.
Hello, it's great. Everyone.
And then when he stabs her, I do think those are my favorite moments because I never saw that coming.
What?
When JoJo stabbed the girl.
I like the. I know it's a horrible moment, but when he comes back into the house because she's hiding, and he walks up there, and she asks him. She asks him at the end of the movie, "Is the war over? What happened?" And he's like, "We won." And you can see in his face, he's in denial, of course. And then they get ready and come out, and she's still under the impression that, like, oh my god, I'm going to be hiding my whole life now. For the rest of my life, I will not be me, I will be someone else, I will be hiding, running away. And she gets out there, and she immediately sees people, like, cheering and walking around, and American soldiers riding around on motorcycles with the American flag, and then she just slowly turns around and slaps him in the face.
Smacks the taste out of his mouth. It reminds me, now that I'm thinking about it, it reminds me of the thing that I couldn't understand to Wilder people. Why, Ricky would drive the car and put them in such danger despite the fact that they knew they were caught. What pushed him to that edge and for him to go, I wanted to be a gangster, or at the very least separation anxiety. That reminds me of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't want to lose her. And yeah. I know I'm going to have
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
And there's a wasn't part of necessarily, me that wants to savor this.
The denial was there for the war, because he couldn't believe that Hitler was dead, because he found that out earlier.
Yeah.
And then gets home, and then his friend is like, oh, now your girlfriend can, you know, exist in peace and have her own life. And he's like, no, I'm selfish. So then that's when he's like, the war is over and we won.
It's just a very kid. Reminds me exactly. of both of their decisions to hold on to something despite the extreme ramifications of it, the impossibility of it.
Exactly.
That this thing will last if I hold on to it.
But you can hear more of that on our other episode.
Of them.
But two more things, real quick.
All right, one.
The ending where Captain Klenzendorf saves him from the Russians,
that broke me
inside.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
There is
Sam Rockwell was amazing there.
Yep,
he showed so many different kind of angles in a very short space of time.
Well, that's another character that loves the idea of being a soldier.
Yeah,
to fight.
Yeah, not being a soldier in a Nazi army, just being a soldier.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dan syndrome.
Yeah.
All of my family members died in battle, and I got to die in battle too.
Another character with an eye issue.
Yep.
Huh. You mentioned that earlier.
Huh. Yeah.
Eyes, man.
Yeah. And that was definitely Taika's idea there. I remember him, he was saying, because it is based on a book, but the book is quite different. It's very serious, and Hitler is not the kid's imaginary friend, and there's a number of other differences. So it got the Taika treatment. But I remember him talking about the eye, that he wanted to give that soldier something that would keep him out of the army, and a leg was just kind of awkward and cliche. So it was the eye.
Makes sense.
And then you've got the eye in Thor.
Eye and boy.
Mm-hmm.
When he stabs the guard's eye out with a spoon and boy.
We'll be right back on the Real Butter Butter Cast. We have an announcement to make.
What?
If you were listening to other songs, you would remember that we were a bigoted Muppet lover. But we changed our name.
We have changed our name.
So we don't want any confusion.
No, we are now Vampire
Tigers!
Alright,
one.
Call name.
You want to hear a song? We'll give you a little sample. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
My mom, the sweetest mom in the world. She curls up to me, makes me the small spoon, and I know that I'm dreaming soon.
Oh, Mom! I love you! Where are you? Want some milk? Alright, that's enough! We are done! Stop with the music! We're not giving you any more free samples of our music until you come to the show this weekend!
See us live!
Real.
Butter.
So anyway, that's where I got the rash, and it just doesn't seem to want to go away.
I'm
gonna get on this chair and get
you. No,
I see it. That's a rash, all right.
Yeah. Why haven't you treated it?
I don't know. I'm too busy watching Taika Waititi films or
what?
Short
Did
films.
You say it right?
Oh, I said it without you. I was trying to get ahead. Sorry. I was watching his short films, which I enjoyed very much.
I only saw the one with the car,
which I also thought was very the one that won the Oscar.
Yeah. What's the name of that one?
Two Cars,
Alex,
One Night.
I got bad news for you, Alex.
Am I saying something that's wrong?
It was nominated for an Oscar, but it didn't win.
I thought it won.
Sorry.
Well, he did win one later, so I'm still correct when I say Oscar winning Taika
Waititi.
More importantly, Taika did win Best Comedy at the 2019 Poppy Awards.
Yay!
Oh, I remember that. Remember that app.
And everyone who hasn't heard that should go and listen to it because it's great.
We might do another one.
Another Poppy Awards? Because they're not going to have award ceremonies this year.
That's for sure.
Yeah, the award ceremonies are going on this year, so we might as well have a Poppies.
Yeah, I can be too many. That's quite a lot.
So did you see any shorts?
I did. I saw a number of his very early shorts, which were shot on videotape. One of which was about a samurai. Did you see that one?
I did.
Oh, he kind of brought that back in, boy, didn't he? When he was like a samurai thing?
Shogun, yeah. Shogun was a very popular book that became a miniseries in the 80s. It was like Gone with the Wind or Silence of the Lambs when it came out. It was a very big book.
Cool. That's cool.
I think... Well, what was your favorite out of them, Theo?
Two Cars, One Night is really well done and beautiful cinematography and great dialogue and everything.
I kind of agree. I think that might be my favorite too.
It's much more polished than any of the other things I saw, but...
Did you see Tama 2?
Can't recall.
So this is the most interesting thing that I watched. I think Boy might be my favorite serious movie he's done, like dramedy. I think Eagle vs. Shark is my favorite comedy, and Boy is my favorite serious short. But he had another one called Tama 2. It's about a group of soldiers in World War II that are hiding out in a sniper's hole until they have a chance to get out and get back into the fight. There's no dialogue, and every single person tries to make each other laugh and try to entertain each other.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a guy who like takes his canteen and he like puts water on another sleeping guy's crotch and he's like, God, I'm gonna try and do it. And then they wake him up and everyone's like, you peed yourself. And he's like, what? And he starts smelling it and he's like, this is water. And they're like, or in the middle of a sniper bit, one guy just gets attention of another one and he's like, hey, and he makes a face. He's like, oh, what's up face? He's like, And then the other guy's like, he does it back. And they all get each other's attention. They're basically keeping each other entertained and keeping their humanity.
While trying to kill people?
Well, and then it's also episodic. So sometimes seriousness in the war gets involved. So while they're doing all this, the commander is watching. And he's not turning around and watching them. One second, he is keeping his eyes out there. There's a sniper who doesn't move and won't joke along. And there's one moment where the sniper's looking out and he sees a guy reaching out. And he's like, I'm going to have to shoot him. And then he sees he's reaching for a cat. And he's like, I don't want to shoot him. He's reaching for a cat. And then somebody else shoots him. And he's like, oh, war sucks. Like, it's just... How do you find your humanity in war is usually through the people you're with, despite the fact that you will probably die with them.
Wow, and that's all in one little short?
It's about 10 minutes, 11 minutes
long. Oh my gosh.
None of his other movies are like it. All of them are dialogue-driven, or they're visually specific in a certain way, have a style or a story he's told before. None of the other stories are like this. And every character is defined through their action. Out of all the work, it's the most different and the most challenging, but also pretty satisfying. It's not... perfect, and you kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? Is somebody going to die? Really, all they do is just leave. But then you realize, well, that's what war is. War is being silent and being friends with people, despite the fact that any second you could die.
There's no real winning when you're in the war. It's over.
The only way you can win war, and I think this is both in that as well as JoJo, is to keep your humanity. You lose your humanity, war has won.
It's a good take.
That, I think, is the most interesting thing I saw of his, the most different.
That was
most...
in 10 minutes. That's impressive. And no speak.
None. One of the guys is carving figures, and he, like, carves a soldier and then, like, a kind of statue of what I'm assuming is probably something from the spiritual realm of, like, New Zealand's past.
Huh. All in 10 minutes? You carved all that? It's impressive.
You're probably there for days. But the statue that he made after it, I'm like, that probably has something to do with the culture that I just don't understand. Probably why it's called Tama 2 in the first place.
Right.
But
okay.
Really interesting. I never thought...
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty good.
What are some other ones?
The heinous crime was mentioned by Theo. What We Do with the Shadows.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
His first one has not been found. And then all the other ones after he started making big movies were all experiments to understand what Thor would be. They're all Thor shorts.
Right. I've seen those. Those were hilarious.
And then he's done TV, and I think all of us kind of like skip that to go to the movies. But I've seen his Flight of the Conchords stuff. It's pretty good. And he made a whole season of a show that Theo found, but I just never got a chance to get to. But it makes me more interested seeing the stuff he's made now that I've missed, that maybe that season is an arc beginning to end that he does well. So I'd like to check it out someday.
He also directed one of the Mandalorian episodes.
I did see that.
So good.
Was it the 8th one? I can't remember.
It's the final episode of the season,
okay.
And there's a beginning part with two stormtroopers just sort of hanging out on their speeder bikes.
Mm-hmm. Just goofing off.
Nothing really happens. It's just them sort of hanging out, and then they've got the child,
and it's sort of
of crying or something, and then he, I don't know, he smacks it, and then the other guy's like, whoa, man, that's a little hard. And it's just the way that they're sort of...
He, like, soccer punches a kid.
Yeah, Adam Pauly is one of them. I do know them.
You never see them off-duty like that. And then suddenly, you know, there's a droid, and it gets exciting, and it, I don't know, it's just beautifully paced and really funny.
Well, having seen that, are you hoping to see some more of the same thing when he gets his movie?
Yeah, because he's going to have, that's
what I want to see.
A whole Star Wars movie.
Humanity and, you know, make them relatable and laugh. I'm not going to talk about the other. We're not going to get into Star Wars, but.
I think we should. What do you guys think?
I will assassinate you.
All right, fine.
I really liked that episode of The Mandalorian. Apart from, yeah, like the joking between the two troopers in that. But again, he also put the whole spin on humanity in that murder droid that was. I forget what the droid's name was, but do you want me to spoil it?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so the droid that he...
Peter!
That he... I didn't spoil anything.
Okay, cool.
Just do that when I actually spoil it.
That's cool, sweet.
But after, so they can hear me. Okay. So when he is the droid...
Peter!
You're not getting it right. Just, okay, I'll give you the cue. Right. I'll look at you like this.
Sweet. Or I'll be shocked by this
spoiler. Yes. So, again, he's always... I think he's in everything that... Every movie that he's done in some way.
Yeah.
If it's just a picture or he's actually a character.
Yeah, he's
so in this... And even not in the episode that he directed, all the other episodes, he's this assassin droid.
Oh, wow.
So he actually plays a character in that, and he plays it in the episode that he directed, too. And at first, the droid is just an assassin droid. It was sent to go kill the Baby Yoda kid. It didn't because Mandalorian got in the way and shot it first, and then it was recommissioned as a nanny droid, and it evolved from there, and... It developed humanity, and in the last episode, in order to save the whole gang and the kid, they were surrounded by troopers. And the only way to get out is if the droid sacrificed its life to protect the kid, because that's what its drive is.
Peter!
There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
So, and
why would you do that?
Meanwhile, they're in a lava lake, or a lava stream,
so it
just gets out, and it walks down the lava stream, just burning its legs off,
nice.
And it finally gets out into the opening where the troopers are surrounding... the hole, but you can't see them when you're in this kind of thing. So they're surrounding, but you can't see them. And the droid comes out there, and he's like, the only way for this kid to be safe is if I self-destruct. And so he just goes, boom! And like, aww. I love that. I love it when a humanless being is more human than...
When there's humanity in robots, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. So he even put that spin on it,
He hasn't really, as far as I can tell, danced in sci-fi yet, so to see him sort of tackle that genre would be pretty interesting.
Thor was kind of sci-fi, but it wasn't based on it. It was more just the superhero stuff, but it had a few things.
It feels more fantasy.
Yeah, I can agree to
that. And with some sci-fi in there, but, like, to see him actually, grapple with sci-fi themes and the questions that they're supposed to pose would be interesting, considering the humanity he finds in Terrible People and apparently the humanity he finds in inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a trope in Star Wars, making droids human, more human than humans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not even a trope in Star Wars. It's just...
It's also a trope in Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Were there robots in that?
More human than human.
So yeah, I don't even think there's any other news than just he's doing a Star Wars movie. I mean, it's so set out though.
Well, there's
other news.
Oh, there is?
About the Star Wars, but...
Yeah, like that Rise of Skywalker sucks. Go on.
I guess there's no news about the movie that he is actually directing.
Yes. So yeah, no. Will be directing an untitled Star Wars film, which is upcoming. And
super exciting, super exciting. Can't wait.
Super. Yeah, it's going to be great.
And then he's
co-written by Christy Wilson Cairns.
Yeah.
Yep, and she's writing the new Edgar Wright musical. She's writing the new Edgar Wright musical.
Oh, well, there you go. So good credentials there. There'll be Thor, Love and Thunder, which is coming out in 2022.
Very excited for that.
And what were you saying about that one, Alex?
So the big thing about Thor, Love and Thunder is he's bringing back everyone, including Valkyrie, but he's also bringing back Jane Foster, and he's going to make her be Thor. She's going to turn into Thor. And, like, it's going to be the first female Thor, considering the fact that, like, Natalie Portman left because they were going to cast Patty Jenkins, to be the director of the second movie, and they decided at the last minute to pick a stupid Game of Thrones director.
who hadn't ever made a movie ever, and she went on to make Wonder Woman. So I'm pretty sure Natalie Portman was probably correct about that one.
Oof.
And the movie didn't do very well, and Portman was like, well, screw that. And then when they were getting this started, Taika sat her down. And he was like, here's what we want to do. And she's like, I'm not interested. And then she's like, and then I had a dinner with him. And he told me like the whole layout of the idea. And she's like, I'm in.
On top of that, just imagine having dinner with Taika.
It'd be great. And Natalie Portman.
Both of them?
She raps.
I would probably have a seizure.
I would freak out. Because you have Portman, who's probably like a Harvard grad intellectual stoic person who can get goofy at times, and you have Taika, who's like probably comfortable with anybody.
Yeah, he just like pushes the check to her and he's like, you're gonna be Thor.
Dude, if I'm ever eating dinner with someone famous, then yes, I'm gonna look at them and I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom and then not come back. You got the check, right? I would just do it, of course.
Yeah, man, you're gonna get like the T-bone steak, whatever, porterhouse.
I want to beat them to the point where they're like, I've got dinner, and then I feel small because they made me feel small. Because of course.
That's your goal?
Yeah.
That's not to relate to them.
That's their goal.
Not to, you know, have a good conversation.
I'm Ponska now. I know that. I live in an attic.
I mean, give yourself more credit than that.
You're
a human being. You're not like, I don't even want to.
I'm the guy who buys their tickets.
If they invited you to come to dinner unironically,
no, in this fictitious situation, I was the busboy and I sat down. It's very uncomfortable.
So you somehow forced them to feed you?
No, I'm just eating, and instead of getting kicked out, I'm, you know, I know
they got my check.
They're cool with it.
Oh, okay.
The people in the staff are like, he's really sitting down. The ball's on that guy. They're like, the ball's on him. Okay, so
wow.
Here's some food.
Okay, that's for me. I would just love to sit down with Taika.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to add some weird situation like I did to it, fine.
Keanu Reeves comes in a tiara.
Yay!
And he spins around and he kisses me on the cheek and he goes, you're perfect.
Peter,
the way you
spoilers!
Are. Sorry.
Yes, Love and Thunder, I'm very excited for it. He also has an Akira remake coming.
What is Akira?
Akira is the classic anime and manga.
It is classic, yes.
Oh, that's Alita, the other one that came out.
Alita, you're talking about Alita.
Yeah.
That was a manga. It wasn't it wasn't an anime. This was Akira was a manga, and then it became one of the most famous anime films of all time. It's about a futuristic world where there's a gang of motorcycle people, and one of the gang members accidentally gets a sort of like alien hybrid technological thing, and he becomes this big, massive blob, gross, disgusting thing, tumor that takes over the city.
Okay.
And eats people.
Wow, you just undug something I didn't know was even buried.
The movie is about the fears of that came, the post-war fears of that came both with the nuke and the tumors that came with the nuclear blast. Oof. And all the guilt and shame that they felt after it. I also don't like that much. So I'm very interested why. I think it's smart. I think it's left an impact. I think it's important, but I also don't like it. And I think that it would be very. I'm very confused what Taika is going to add to it or what he sees.
Well,
he
said he wanted a futuristic spin, you know, sci-fi spin on him.
But it's also one of the most dour, serious animes. There's no jokes in that movie.
We'll reference back to Jojo Rabbit. I mean, he did that, so.
Yes, I'm not saying
I think
he can can't.
Handle. I think he can handle this one and spin. Do a little. Take a spin on it.
I don't know if I want. Maybe the problem that I have with that story is that it doesn't have humor, but I don't know. I don't think there's much to that story at all outside of here's a gang, here's a guy who accidentally gets an experimental plot.
He'll put his little Taika spin on
it. I think
there.
It's a very bare-bones story that is like Blade Runner, mostly about the aesthetic and the thematics. I don't know I want to see. Yeah. I don't say if I want to see. I'm just very confused as to what he sees that he can add to it. What do I think that he can add his style to anything, and you'd be like, this is what it would be if he did it. But what does he think he can add to it that nobody else could? That people were like, your vision, you're the one that we're going to do. So that
I have faith in him, but I just don't know what he would do, which is
probably
the whole
point. It may please you to know that they've repeatedly struggled to get this production off the ground, and it's currently on hold, so.
Oh, good. Okay. Maybe you won't ever get to see the movie.
I mean, I want to see it, and I'm interested to what it would be like, but I also don't care because I don't like Akira.
There we go.
Watch it for
Taika. There is a film that's in post-production, so it's already been
made.
What is this? What is this?
No, this is called Next Goal Wins.
What is that?
So this will be his next film. This is a sports comedy film.
Yay!
And he's directing it and co-writing it, and it's based on a 2004 documentary about a Dutch-American coach and his efforts to lead the American Samoa national football team.
I can
consider
so see
the
that.
Best football team in the world.
Is he the
and
coach?
And led them to qualify for the World Cup in 2014.
Huh.
It'll have Michael Fassbender, Elizabeth Moss, and
He has Rachel. To be the coach.
Yeah.
He has
and to Armie be the Hammer.
Coach. I love Armie Hammer. That is awesome. He's never made a sports movie. So, mm-hmm. again, use him challenging himself, making things in there genres.
And I'll watch
and
it.
If you if you put Armie Hammer in the fridge, it'll really take those odors away.
Well, we can't. We can't because it's broken.
Second great dad joke. Second great dad joke.
Well, hope you'll get the fridge fixed and get our dad back in
or
there
he'll
today.
Or he'll talk.
I would like to know that he's refrozen.
Yeah, maybe.
He's still in the bucket right now. It's starting to smell.
Well, okay. Going back to the sports thing, I'm not a sports guy at
Neither
all.
Neither am I.
But I'm going to watch it. No. I'm going to watch it for Taika.
My hope is
you should do that for Akira, too. Is it Akira?
Akira.
Akira.
If he makes it, I'll guarantee you whatever, if he makes Akira, if he actually makes that movie, I will watch it, and I know I'm going to like it more than Akira.
Right.
That's just the way I've already seen Akira, and I like anything
Thor.
Else he's made.
He did that so, with
yeah,
Thor,
I don't think there's anything naturally wrong with it. I just don't respond to it.
You just hate it. You despise it.
I don't.
You think it's
but
dumb.
It's the same thing with sports movies.
You just hate what you don't understand. I understand.
No, well, I like anime. You know,
did Theo just say that?
I'm the most open-minded guy you know, man, except the Dutch. I hate the Dutch. And I just think that if you're really going to, like, it's about art. I'm not judging a person. I'm judging the art. And I don't like, I just am not the biggest fan of Akira. But I have seen many anime, and I understand the genre. I'm just not the biggest fan of that story.
You just despise it.
Just don't want to watch again.
I'm just in awe of the artwork of Katsuhiro Otomo.
Sure.
And his 1,000-page masterpiece. But you are right. It doesn't really have a lot of layers emotionally.
Well, I mean, character-wise, yes, it doesn't have a lot, but it also doesn't have a lot plot-wise. It's just this guy's growing bigger. We need to stop him. But
it's not an onion. It's more of a tomato. There's no layers.
Plump tomato, but
there are layers, but they are so obvious and smelly that at a certain point you're done peeling them.
What kind of tomato are you eating?
I'm talking about onions, not tomatoes. But like,
if they're smelly. Don't eat them.
Dude, are you surprised he eats curdled milk?
The only kind of milk to drink and eat. There's the only way to eat it. It's eat. So
slurp maybe.
When it comes to sports dramas, I am a fan of like getting a team together and doing stuff like a Bad News Bears. Sure. I love stories about the drama of sports. That you don't need to understand sports to understand the human drama of it. Like, I love Moneyball. Moneyball is about the love of sports from people who will never, ever play sports. And
I love that. That's cool.
Same thing with my favorite show. My favorite show is about the behind the scenes of a sports center type show where it's not about sports. It's about the people who work for television and the things that they're saying are television based. And everything they're responding from is from people who work behind the scenes of a show. But it's also sports are metaphors laced throughout it. So using sports as a way to understand other things, I've always been a fan of. But also, how could you not like a Bad News Bears or a Cool Runnings or just let's get the sports together?
Boring, I want to see Thor!
Poppy, you scared.
Thor!
Where's your accent?
Thor!
Where's your accent?
I got rid of it.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah,
you're done with it?
I give up.
Ugh, it's almost like we're just going to watch a bunch of movies made by some people who didn't really try soon and just kind of gave up as well.
Maybe. Why do you sound like that?
Canon Films! Anyway, I think sports drama is exactly what the doctor ordered for. What, you think sports
dumb.
Are dumb?
Yeah, sports are dumb.
Don't you like sports movies? A League of Their Own?
Dumb!
No!
Dumb!
Major League?
Dumb!
Kingpin?
I'm not going to keep doing this.
Right, because Kingpin is great.
I want Star Wars! I want Thor!
Well,
even if he is a girl.
Well, Thor is going to be on pause because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And Star Wars is going to be on pause because of Rise of Skywalker. So you got some time, buddy.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy a sports movie instead.
I'm leaving.
Oh, you can't. If you go outside, the pigeon will get you.
You see my legs?
Yeah,
You see them moving in the opposite direction
of you. You're reaching for the door. I wouldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Yep, it's opening.
It's opening?
It's a raven this time.
Help me! Help me!
I'm reaching for it. I'm trying. This bird is really fast. Oh, God. I'm going to spit. I'm going to spitball it. Oh, Poppy, I'm going to catch you. Gotcha.
Yeah, put me down.
Oh, I can't. I'm going to cradle you like a baby.
Put me down.
I'm
going
to cradle you like a baby.
Put me down. You make me feel
weird. Poor baby Poppy.
He's okay.
Peter, I'm only outside for a little bit. I'll get
inside. I'm just watching all this happen. This is fantastic.
I'm going to bring him in. He's okay. There's a storm outside too, Poppy, so we got to avoid that.
Well, the last thing that I know about is what we do in the moonlight, or supposedly it's called We Are Wolves. So I'm excited about that.
Yep, spinoff from What We Do in the Shadows about the werewolf clan.
I found that out like 2 years ago, and I've been hyped for it ever since.
I don't know what's keeping him.
Probably everything leading up to that, because that's the last thing on the list.
Sure, but he's been sitting on this... that's the thing that surprises me about that, because he's made the short in 2005, made the movie in 2014, has made two shows and directed, like, he's obviously involved and a fan of this world still. And maybe the
ideas, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, maybe the ideas of the werewolves ended up being what the other show is, PD.
No. Like, apparently, last year, Taika said, quote, "It's the film that Jemaine and I keep pretending that we're making. Every couple of years, we say we're making this new film called Werewolves, which follows the werewolves from this, from What We Do in the Shadows. I feel bad to even mention it now because we keep saying it, but it's like a dad saying, yeah, I'll be home for Christmas.
Yeah, it's not gonna
happen. I suppose we're just two dads on the road enjoying our lives going, we're not coming home for Christmas. We'll send a postcard."
Yeah, dude, that's not gonna happen. Jermaine seems like he's out of it. He seems like he's kind of done now.
Man.
And the show's becoming its own thing, so, like, just let it be.
Just let me live this.
I love the guy who plays the werewolf, and I love Stu. I would love it to have.
Yeah, and he's in a lot of the movies, too, the guy who plays the werewolf.
Yeah, he's in...
he was the Bushman.
He got famous from Concords. Thought of Concords.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that wraps it up. I guess we should rate the movies.
I'm kind of tacking out.
That's Rhys Darby, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Darby.
Rhys Darby.
So, yeah, let's just rate them.
All right, so first one, Eagle vs. Shark.
3.5 out of 5. All right.
I agree with that. 3.5 out of 5 is good.
I think 3 is a good one for me. 3 out of 5, okay. Butter.
Mm-hmm.
What about Boy? What would you give Boy, Theo?
I'm going to give it... Man, it just hit me hard. So good. So real. Reminded me of my own.
No. Nope. I'm going to disagree with you there. Other. Absolutely not.
Immediately.
No. No.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's... Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.7.
Wow. Christmas.
4.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt because I watched it once and it was at night and I wasn't watching it on a Sunday morning like you, which seemed to be better. So I'm going to give it, I don't want to give it a 2.
It is not.
I'll give it a 2.
That is, it's the high. It's the highest, it's the most grossing movie in New Zealand as of 2 years ago.
But that's just a fact.
Love it?
Right, yeah. But personally, me, I didn't find it that, you know, amazing.
Theater!
I'll give it a 2.5.
That is rough.
Ugh.
Until I watch it again, well, I'm giving it that.
That is rough. What We Do in the Shadows?
That's what you're doing right after the show.
What We Do in the Shadows?
3, 2, 1. Rate it.
3.6. I really enjoyed it, and I laugh, you know, and... It's really grown on me, too, since I've seen it. I feel like I know those characters, and then it just doesn't have the same level of depth, but it is very funny, and they do develop those characters well, and it's a great concept. Yep.
4.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4 as well. 4 to 5, Butter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about The Hunt for the Wilder People?
4.5.
I'm going to give it 4.4.
Just
be fussy.
Anyone listening, you just got to round these up, okay? That's what you have to do. Round it to the nearest whole number, okay? And for me, that's 5. So I'm giving that one 5 out of 5. Poppy, wow. What would you give it?
I would give it 6.
Yep. Your own search for the wilder people.
6. I still want to go.
You never go for them.
I'm going to go.
You can go, but you'll never find them.
The wilder people?
The wilder people will never.
Huh. It's not really like a group of people, Poppy. No. I don't know.
What?
It's 2 people.
What?
It's just 2 people, and then they're out of the forest. They're
They live in a house now. Well, they're not out. They're looking for a bird.
But there's more. There's just two.
What? There's Wilder Beast.
Well, the girl and the guy that they live with, maybe they end up being Wilder People, too.
Yeah. Maybe we're all Wilder People.
0 out of 5!
No, Theo, that is not true. It is just them. How dare you?
0 out of 5!
Oh, Poppy. Wow. Poppy says 6. We're going to stick with 6.
No!
6.
You ruined it. Why don't we average the 0 and the 6? We'll give him Poppy will give it a 3.
5.5. Got it.
5.5.
Yeah.
You egg doesn't have a
Thor Ragnarok.
On a burger? Egg on a burger with me.
What are you doing?
He's reminding me of food.
Egg on a burger? Like you haven't ate before? Ever?
I've eaten before. I'm alive, so I've eaten before. It's, you know.
Have you? Salivated on egg burger.
Yes, because I know my mouth knows how to masticate.
Well, Thor Ragnarok, changing subject, I love it way more than any other Thor movie. And if I'm rating the other Thor movies, what I would probably give them like a 1 or like a generous 2. But this one, I really enjoyed. I loved it. I like the spin that he took, you know, missing an eye. It's never been done. So for that, I'm going to give it a 4.
4 as well.
I go 4.5. It's not even a question whether it's the best Thor movie, but it's also my, I fluctuate between it being my favorite Marvel movie overall.
Oof.
Although,
wow.
Winter Soldier is when I'm feeling all tough and stuff, but.
Okay. Oh, you got like a soundtrack, but it's movies. Like, this is my sad soundtrack.
I got a date going, so yeah. I better turn on Winter Soldier.
If I'm feeling like a good mood, good time kind of vibe, then it's all about Thor.
Okay. All right, Jojo Rabbit. I'm gonna give it. I love this. I cried. I think he did a good job, and I'll give this one a 4 because I'm gonna try not to do any more bullet points, any decimals anymore.
Fine. Just gonna I'll give it a 4-point butter.
I honestly think the best film out of the ones that he's made is Wilder People, but I my favorite is Boy. And as good as Jojo is, something about it doesn't fully mesh entirely for me.
What did you give Wilder People?
4.5.
And I gave it a 5. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't like it more than Jojo, then you have to go a little down.
No, I don't have to. I can honestly think that something is...
You're at gunpoint.
You're contractually obligated.
Yeah, but it's a cork in the gun. I can see the cork
so
in the gun.
So Alex would give Jojo Rabbit
a
one,
4.
A 1 out 4. Of... 1 out of
4.
Oh, 4. Oh, I was going to try and trick you.
So no, you said 4. Yep, Peter said it. 4. 4 for Jojo.
How old were you when you were 1 years old?
12 months old.
What's 1 times 1?
A number.
No? What is it? What's the number?
Certainly one that's...
No. Ah, you said it! You said 1!
Dang it!
You said it! Ah, yes. He would give it 1.
That is one way for me to say 4 stars for Jojo Rabbit. 4 butters for Jojo. And I'm the one who said 4 butters for...
I think we all heard you say 1. Yeah. So, whenever a new Taika movie comes out, we'll just add it to this episode. So you'll just have to re-listen everything he said.
What? So JoJo's going to be put in here?
What do you mean?
You had a JoJo episode. Are you going to put it in here?
Yeah, you can fold that in at the end.
Yeah.
In parentheses.
And here's a quote. Here's everything we said from that episode. All right.
And go.
Foolish shaka.
Oh, it's here's a skulk smash.
So you're handicapped, huh? I guess I can't if you're handicapped. And then he'd be...
No, Chucks. Oh, Eagle vs. Shark is good.
The Skunk's Life chose me.
The Skunk's Life chose me.